God is good all the time, and His mercy endures forever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Well, tonight I've got an announcement to make before we get into the Word, and that is that we've known that the building has sold, and we thought that we were going to have until the 1st of July to be able to move everything out of the church building, but we were informed that for legal reasons that we need to vacate the building by the 29th of May. So that's just a few weeks away, and so we're going to ask for a lot of help and all hands on deck to kind of help us do that. And we have a sign-up sheet on our mobile app. If you've got our mobile app, if you don't, you can download it at New Beginning Family Christian Center, AMBFCC, and sign up to help us. But this coming Saturday, the 9th, we're going to have a packing party. And then on the 16th, we're going to have a moving party. And then on the 23rd, we're going to have a cleaning party. So again, a packing, a moving, and then a cleaning. If you can help us with one of those, all of those, part of those, we'd just be so grateful, because many hands make light work. Amen? Hallelujah. God is good. We know He has a plan. We already have some situations as far as where we're going to be meeting, and we're looking at different scenarios, but we know that when we can all get back together, it's kind of a mute point right now because we can't meet because of the restrictions, but when those are lifted, we will be meeting together again as a New Beginning Family Christian Center. We're excited about what God has in store for us, ahead of us. Even though it's a little shaky right now, God, we know, is in control and going for it. You know, I'll just say that from my heart, it's like when I got that news, I was a little bit taken back, and a lot of emotions came up, because God has done so many great things in this facility at the time that we've been here. We're so excited about what He's done and grateful, but we know that He's going to do it wherever we go, because wherever we go, the church is, and we know that God is going to use us in the future. And for the church that's taking over this facility, we just bless them. We expect God to just move in this place continually, that the lost would be saved, and that many would come into the kingdom and be built up as disciples. We're excited about what God is doing. We don't know everything, but that's what faith is all about, isn't it? Glory to God. We trust Him even when we don't know. God is good. Well, if you've got your Bibles, last week we started to talk about the faith of Abraham. And I didn't get all the way through it, so we're going to go rehearse a little bit of what I said last week and then get us up to date and then finish off the last part of it tonight. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, without faith it's impossible to please God. And everybody that I know who's Christian want to please God, or at least that should be the intent of our heart. And sometimes we get sidetracked, we get diverted into other things, but I know at the end of the day that our heart is after God. So tonight, if you're willing to come with me on this journey in the Word of God, I believe God wants to recenter us and refocus us. In fact, it is on my heart tonight that I believe that even in this time of shaking that's going on with the pandemic and other things, and our routines are all messed up, that God wants to get our attention and get us refocused into Him. I was reading in the Minor Prophets this past week, and many times God would say, man, I tried this to get your attention. I tried this to get your attention. I tried this to get your attention, but you wouldn't listen to me. You went off into other things. But God tonight wants each one of us from our heart to spend a few moments with Him and say, God, what is it that you have for me, that you would have for me so that I could go forward? Is there something that I need to shift, adjust, or change? Because God, I know that you have good things ahead for me, and I believe your best is yet to come. Amen? Amen. So if you look in your Bibles in Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 4, and let's go right to verse 19, talking about Abraham and his faith. It says, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already being dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced of what he'd promised, he was able to perform. Now, I want you to know that it says here that, man, he was fully persuaded. But if you'll notice in verse 19, it says he was about 100 years old. Well, this process didn't begin at 100 years old. It actually began at about 75 years old. And so he went through a process to get him to being fully persuaded. So the faith of Abraham speaks of the fact that faith is a journey. Faith is a progression. And again, like we said last week, faith is all about a relationship with God. In the Bible, I think it's in 2 Corinthians, it says faith works by love. And it's taught, and I think rightly so, that if your love life isn't right, then your faith won't work for you. But I think also we need to come from the perspective that my faith is based on my knowledge of how God loves me, and then again how much I love him. So my faith is built up, it's strengthened, it's encouraged by the fact that I know God and that he knows me. So if we can come to that understanding and go, wait a minute, just because I don't have it all together right now, and just because God has promised me something right now, it may not come to pass until I walked with God for a while and become fully convinced that what God promised me, he would do. And again, we said last week, and we're going to turn right now to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. We said last week that Abraham was called a friend of God. And again, we sing a song, I'm a friend of God, and we are that because of what Jesus did on the cross. But we have to determine in ourselves that we're going to do what God has called us to do, and that out of faith should come some natural consequences of us having confidence and a relationship with God. I believe this, that when you truly get born again, you have the opportunity for God to change everything. But it doesn't happen overnight. In fact, I like the fact that he peels the onion one layer at a time, because if he ripped us all apart, we just couldn't handle it. But God is for our future and not about our past. That's so cool. He's wiped away our past so that we can have a future. But in that future, he wants us to grow closer and closer and closer to him. James chapter 2 and verse 23, it says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, God, or Abraham believed God and was counted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Man, that's what I want to know. That's what I want to be. I mean, wouldn't you love for God to come into your room and say, hey, you're my friend? And the reality is, he is our friend, but are we developing our friendship with him? Glory to God. It's a thing where we reverence God for who he is, but we understand that it's his desire, it was his plan, and his work that drew us to Jesus. And when we came to Jesus, the whole purpose was the Holy Spirit drew us to Jesus so that he could turn around and then draw us to God. Come on, and live in that relationship with him. But look at this again. In verse 24, you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Now, wait a minute. I thought it was by faith that we're saved and not works. Well, the reality is, yes, that's true. There's nothing that you can do to earn heaven. There's nothing that you can do to be good enough to be right with God. But by God making you good, by God making you righteous, there should be corresponding actions that come out of that that allow you to be seen as something different than you were before. Glory to God. And again, it's not by my might, it's not by my strength, but it's by the Spirit of God that he releases me into the place where I can do works for him, that I can stand up here and preach and have that have an effect on your heart. See, I really believe tonight that even though this is from me to a camera to your screen, that God is working on your heart right now. And it's by faith that I fully believe that. And I know that I know that I know that it's all about him. But when I got saved, I said, Lord, what do you want me to do for you? What is it that I mean, it was absolutely a draw in my heart. I wanted to live my life to where God would be pleased with me. See, that was a direct result of my coming to faith in Jesus. But just because I came to that place doesn't mean that every day I've constantly walked in that. There's some self-reflection that I have to do, and when tests and trials come along the way, I'm in a place where I have to reevaluate, re-engage, and talk to God and get an understanding of what God is saying so that my confidence or my faith can grow in who He is and what He has for me. So I want you to be encouraged, but I also want you to be motivated. In other words, if you fell down yesterday or you're not where you think you need to be, or you know, some people think, well, you know, I tried to believe God and it didn't work. What I'm saying to you is that it might not have seemed like it's worked, but if you'll continue to work it, it will work, because God is perfecting things on the inside of you to get you to the place where you're fully convinced that who God said He is, He is, and what He said He would do, He will do. So let's go back and look at Abraham again in Genesis chapter 17. We're going to pick this up. Genesis chapter 17. And again, reiterating a little bit that when Abram was 75 years old, he was in the Ur of the Chaldees, and God spoke to him and said, get out of this land, I'm going to take you to a land. The first thing for faith is for God to speak. And we know that we have the written word which God has spoken, but there's something about hearing the written word with our spiritual ears that are connected to our heart that put it in the place of faith. And the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God is absolutely essential for you to have confidence or a foundation for which you can believe what God has said. In other words, if you don't have Scripture to back up what you're believing, then you don't have a foundation for it. So what you need to do is find out what God has said, what promises He's made, and then start to begin to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit so that He can reveal the full extent of that to you. And as you're going through that process, come on, then it'll grow to the place where you can become fully convinced. I want to be just like Abraham, but Abraham is a great example to me because Abraham didn't get it right away. In fact, he had to have a name change in order for him to get it. And we talked about that a little while last week, but and we're going to go over this again because this is so incredibly important. In chapter 17 and verse 1, it says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. So God is introducing Himself. What's He introducing Himself as? I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai. I am who I say I am. I can do what I say I can do. My word is good, and if I give you my word, I will back it up. So that's his introduction to him at this point. And listen, he goes on to say, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. And then Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I've made you the father of many nations. He said, I'm giving you a name change because my word has had an effect in your life, and it's changed who you are. You were one thing before, but when I came into covenant with you, when I became into relationship with you, and you began to intimately know me, something has changed. In the New Testament, in Romans chapter 12, it says that we are, you know, transformed by the renewing of our mind so that we may know what is the perfect and acceptable will of God. And the whole process is the more I allow the Holy Spirit to reveal His word to me and I begin to walk in it, the stronger my confidence will be in what God said, to where I can get from a place where I want to believe, I'm trying to believe, to where I can be fully persuaded that which He's promised He will do. You know, I'm absolutely convinced that when I leave this body, the second I breathe my last breath, I'll be with Jesus. That forever and ever and ever, you can't convince me otherwise. You can tell me I'm not saved because I didn't get baptized by your formula, or that God doesn't love me because I'm not a part of your church. But the reality is, I met the Savior many, many years ago, and I've been walking with him ever since. And I'm stronger in that conviction right now than I've ever been, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I'm looking forward to that day. But it's a growth process that happens through pressure of time. Look, at even in the natural, if you want to get stronger in your muscles, then what you have to do is you have to put resistance against your muscles and lift that pressure so that you can gain strength. And so as we go through life and we go through different tests, trials, and just life in general, if we'll seek God, if we'll press into God, if we'll press into his promises, if we'll make those the first place in our heart, then we'll begin to strengthen and we'll become stronger than what we were. Glory to God. Sometimes we watch a movie and we see one of these buff guys and we think, man, I wish I could be like that. And if he was in your living room, he'd say, well, listen, here's where I started. And it took me doing this for this many years to get where I am. And you go, no, I don't want to do all that. All I want to do is have your body. Don't you have a pill? Don't you have something that could just transfer? Maybe I could put a suit on or something. You see, but the suit on the outside doesn't make you strong on the inside. It's the exercise. It's the resistance. It's the going for it, even when you don't feel like going for it, that gets you to the place where you can have strength. But God said, I'm going to make this covenant between you. Now listen, it's one thing for me to shake your hand and say, yep, we've got this agreement. It's settled. It's done. You might back out of it. I mean, I could possibly back out of it, but God is not a man that he should lie. He will not back out of his promise. Glory to God. But we have to become fully convinced in that. I want to encourage you tonight that even if you're not there, don't try to say that you are. Say, listen, I'm believing God. I'm working that on the inside of me, but I'm not going to act out on my faith until I know that I know that I know that I know that this is really what God has said and this is really what God is going to do. Let's go on. Verse 6 says, I will make you exceedingly fruitful and I will make nations of you and kings shall come from you and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you, and I will give you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So look at, he's saying, listen, here's what's going to happen. Can you imagine this? Abraham, and just put yourself in this position. Abraham has come to the land, God has blessed him, but he still sees all the nations that are inhabiting the land. And he's going, huh? How can this be? How can this be? It can be because God said it. But oftentimes, the first time God says something to you, you're not fully convinced. Why? Because you're looking at the promise through your ability to get it done. And you don't have the ability to get it done. This was impossible for Abraham at this time to do. And in fact, the promise was not fulfilled until hundreds of years later when they were exiled out of Egypt and then came back into the land. And truly, truly, it's not completely come to pass yet because the boundaries that were established haven't been ever been, Israel has not occupied them completely, but I'm telling you this, he's coming again. And when he comes, he's going to set up a new Jerusalem, and that new Jerusalem is going to inhabit all the land that he promised Abraham. And so the generations from Abraham to now are living by the faith of Abraham believing God and this coming to pass. But it's really, this is so important that you get a hold of this. It's your relationship with God and letting Him speak to you, and you beginning to act on that, that will motivate you to get to the place where you can be fully developed and fully in faith. Glory to God. At verse 18, well, at 17, and then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born to this man who is 100 years old, and Sarah, who is 99 years old, bear a child?" And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." In other words, he's saying, we worked this out on our own. We heard your promise, but we wanted to help you out and do it our way. And can't this work? And God is saying, no, I'm not going to pollute my promise. What I promised you will come to pass. But what I'm telling you is in Romans chapter 4, it said he was fully persuaded. Here he is going, I'm not quite so sure. Man, we're old. You see, ever you look at the promise of God through your ability to get it to happen, it'll never come to pass. It'll never fully be the absolute best that God has for you. But when you surrender to His will and you say, God, I believe, like the man came to Jesus and said, I believe, but Lord, help my unbelief. In other words, I see that you're able to do it, and I see that it's very possible for it to be done, but I'm not so sure of it in my case. And so he said to Jesus, help thou my unbelief. See, I believe that you have faith, but it's unbelief that gets you out of fully believing. And so what you have to do is drive out that unbelief by continually getting in the Word of God and soaking in the Word of God and allowing the Spirit of God to begin to reveal the Word of God until you become fully, completely convinced. But if you're not there yet, listen, don't be discouraged. Say, look, Abraham didn't get there in a day. I'm not going to get there in a day, but I'm going to continue seeking. I'm going to continue walking. I'm going to continue declaring what God has said because I know that God is with me. Glory to God. Look at chapter 18. It said, then the Lord appeared to him by the timbereth tree of Merom. When he was sitting in the tent door of the heat of the day, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing with him. And he saw them, and he ran out from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground. And he said, my Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant, but please a little water brought, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a morsel of bread that you may be refreshed in your hearts, that you may pass by, and as much as you have come to your servant, they said, do as you have said. And so Abraham hurried to the tent, Sarah, and said, quickly, make these three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a tender and good calf and gave it to the young men and hastened to prepare it. And he took butter and milk and the calf and had it prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the trees as they ate. When they said this to him, and then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? He said, here in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. In other words, that this was an impossibility. How many of us have faced impossibilities? But you see, we've got to come with the mindset, it might be impossible for me, but to those who believe, now watch this, all things are possible. All things are possible. Now let me clarify that a little bit. Not all things that aren't based in what God has said. All things that God has promised are possible. So you have to, again, get into your motives, get into your reasonings, get into why and what God has said, and then base your faith or base your belief or base your confidence in the fact that if God has said it, surely it could come to pass. Let me just digress just a little bit to give you an example. It's like the Bible says, he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Now that's something that is a little hard to grasp a hold of, because it said, we'll keep him in perfect peace. That means no matter what you do, God will give you peace. In Philippians, it says, and the peace of God will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. What does that mean? That means that if you really get to the place where you're confident in what God has promised you, then life can buffet you on all sides, but it's not going to dissuade you because you know that you know that you know that God is with you. I had a teacher in it when I was going to Bible school, and he was really endeavoring to live peace because he lived in anxiety. He lived in turmoil, and he was determined to do this. So for a couple of years, he just kept quoting the scriptures about peace and putting those into his heart. And his wife was also a teacher at the school, and she said it got to the point where nothing bothered him. It got to the point where you couldn't rattle him whatsoever. Because why? He'd been putting that into his heart, and God mixed that on the inside, and he became fully convinced that if God was with him, what does it matter what's happening on the outside? One day, it had an ice storm in Oklahoma, and I never understood what those were until I lived there. But in just a little bit of time, wind can come through, ice can come, and the whole road is nothing but a sheet of ice. So it's like driving on a skating rink. Well, this was the case. They were driving down the turnpike, and all of a sudden, the car lost control. So the car is doing this. And his wife looked over at him, and he was like this. And she thought, man. But you see, God, he knew that he knew that he knew that God was with him. And, you know, they came out all right and everything. But the point is that you can defeat anxiety, but you have to do it through a relationship with God by allowing the Holy Spirit to show you scriptures so that you can hide them in your heart so that peace can come where the impossible can become possible. But you have to develop that relationship. But look at it, it might not come in a year. It might not come in 5 years. It might not come in 10 years. But don't quit, keep going, and know that if God has spoken it, surely, surely he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring it to pass. So look at verse 14. It says, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time I'll return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh. She was afraid, and she said, but no, you did laugh. Now let's go to chapter 22. And the whole point is, I want to have the Abraham kind of faith. I have to have the walk and the longevity with God that Abraham had. In other words, if I know that God's promised me something and I don't see it this year, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up on it. I'm going to say, God, just keep working on me, because I'm going to get to the place where I'm fully convinced. And when I become fully convinced, it absolutely will come to pass. Chapter 22 and verse 10. Says this, and Abraham stretched out his, I went to a different place, but this fits. Now watch this. Abraham had Isaac, and he was born, and the promise was fulfilled, and there was rejoicing in the fact, and all of that, and they were blown away by it. But then God said, look at, do you truly believe? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to worship me. Isn't that something? How am I going to worship you? I want you to take your son, and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice for me. Think about that. He'd waited 100 years for this boy to be born. The boy was born, and God said, listen, I want you to take him up. And for the sake of time, I'm just going to kind of reiterate the story. So he takes him up, and Isaac wasn't a little boy. He was more like 14 or 15 years old, I think, or 13, somewhere in there. But he was going up and walking up the hill. I said, hey, Dad, well, I know we're going up to sacrifice to the Lord. Where's the lamb? You know, Abraham didn't let him know, you're it. But Abraham said this, God will provide the lamb. God will provide the sacrifice. But he put him up there, got the stones, got the fire already. And then I don't know exactly how he did this, but Isaac, get up there on the altar. And he had them all laid out, had the knife up and was ready to plunge it into him. Think about that for just a minute. How could he get to that point? I don't think he could have done that at 75. But at 100, he'd walked with God enough and knew the faithfulness of God's promise, and that God was absolutely promised that through his seed, through Isaac, all nations would be blessed. I don't know how God's going to do this, but I'm just going to be obedient to what God tells me to do, and God will bring it to pass. And it says that the angels came and took his hand, and they found a ram in the thicket. But here's the point, that when we're believing God and we're walking with God, he might ask us to do some things that don't make sense to us. But when we know his voice, we know he's spoken to us, we can go ahead and do it, even though it doesn't make sense to happen. While you're turning to Mark chapter 11, and we'll close with this tonight, but years ago, God spoke to us. It was really interesting because I had really no thoughts of or plans to go to Africa, but Bishop Frank Butai came, and he and his wife were sitting down in my office, and we'd just been talking for a few minutes, and Bishop Frank looked over to me and says, "You need to bring your gift to Africa." And I went, you know, I knew, A, that the cost of going over there, and, you know, honestly, I went, man, I'm not sure about all that. But there was something in my spirit that said, pay attention to this, pay attention to this. So I said, all right, Lord, we'll go. And we put a small team together, started meeting, and I'm up here preaching one Sunday morning. And I said, well, we're going to Africa, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to raise some funds, and we're going to Africa, but we're going to take over and leave over in the country $10,000. Now, we're not a large church. I don't have a lot of reserves. There's no way that we could take $10,000 with them at that point, but God spoke it to me, and he spoke it to me right then. But do you want to know something? We did go to Africa, and God provided all of the money. Well, watch this. Watch this. God speaks to you. It doesn't mean your faith is going to say, all right, well, I'm just going to sit back and wait and let this happen. We went to work on what God had said. What do I mean by that? We started to develop plans on how to raise money, get people aware of what we were doing, and the money came in. But it cost us something to be obedient to God. One of the things is we had a yard sale to raise funds. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to put in the yard sale? Well, I put some pretty substantial things that I really enjoyed in that yard sale because I knew that God wanted me to do that. And look at, through that, we left, and here's how much money we left in Africa when we went and came back. We had given to two different ministries over $10,000. That's not the money that we took over there from the standpoint of paying our needs, but that was beyond, and we're blessed. But it came from hearing God, then doing what God told us to do, and then watching God work for us. God is for us. He's not against us. Hallelujah. Mark 11, and look at verse 20. Mark 11, verse 20. 22, I mean, Jesus answered this, have faith in God. Have faith in God. There's some translations that say, have the God kind of faith. But the reality is, I like the way the King James says it, have faith in God. In other words, we're not having faith in a promise of God, we're having faith in the God who promised. Let me say that again. We're not having faith in a promise of God, we're having faith in the God who promised. And the more you get to know him, the more you understand, the more you act on what he's already told you, the easier it will be to see those promises come to pass. Now look at it again. He says, have faith in God, for assuredly, And King James again says, verily, verily. In other words, I want your attention, because as sure as I'm saying this, this is the truth, and this is what's going to happen. It says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Listen, what he's saying here is, I want you to get fully convinced in your heart that God has promised you something. And when you declare that, because you're fully persuaded, it will surely come to pass. And that can be for personal things, but it can also be for things of the kingdom of God. I believe that we need to be in a situation where we're believing God for our nation at this time. Tomorrow's a national day of prayer, I believe, and we need to all be praying, but we don't need to be just praying from, God, I hope this could happen, or I wish this could happen. We need to be praying from the standpoint that, God, I know you're listening, and I know that you hear the cry of your servants. And God, I'm coming to you from a heart that wants to hear from you. And Lord, if there's something I need to do different, if there's something I need to change, Lord, I want to put myself in a position to where I can become fully, totally convinced like my father Abraham, so the things that you promised to me will come to pass. I want you to know tonight that God is for you. God is with you. God wants you to know that he loves you. If you've never met Jesus, if you've never made him the Lord of your life, that's the first step. That's the first stage. But you have to do it from a sincere heart and with all of your heart say, Lord, I figured out that I can't do this on my own. I need some help. So Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Savior for the world, and I make him Lord of my life. If you'll just declare that, your life will forever be changed because you'll become born again. If you're here tonight, you need prayer for anything, don't hesitate to call the church office. Call us. We'd be loving to pray for you. We believe that God is for you. He's with you. And even though things might be tight right now, I know that I know that I know that God is going to show up big on our behalf and on your behalf in Jesus' name. I want you to be blessed tonight. Remember to go to the app or give Donnie a call or give me a call if you can help on those dates. Again, the 9th, which is this Saturday, will be packet day. And then the 16th will be move it day. And the 23rd will clean this place up for the next tenants in Jesus' name. Thank you for listening tonight. Be blessed. We love you with all of our hearts. Wish we were together, and I just believe that we will be soon. God bless. Good night, and God be with you. Amen.